I think really the ultimate piece of advice that I would give is just to strive to be a lifelong learner. You know, I never want to say, okay, I've arrived, I've gotten there, I've made it, now I'm here. There's always something that I can focus on and be better at. And so if you're striving to be a lifelong learner, this is an area that I'm not, surely not an expert on. And there are definitely pieces of this that I can grow in as well. But that's my goal, is to really just continue to learn and continue to be better at that.
Hi, I'm Diane Sweeney, and I'm the author of The Essential Guide for Student-Centered Coaching and our newest book, Moves for Launching a New Year of Student-Centered Coaching.
And I'm Brandon Lewis, an innovation and learning coach in Liberty, Missouri.
And this is Student-Centered Coaching, the podcast, where we sit down with coaches and teachers to explore how they are supporting student learning. Our hope is that through sharing these stories, we can all grow together. Hello, everyone. In today's podcast, I'm excited to introduce you to Tiffany Dowling. And Tiffany is a reading coach at Hillcrest Elementary in Enterprise, Alabama. And I got to meet Tiffany just recently because she's affiliated with the Alabama Reading Initiative. And you'll get to hear a little bit more about that as we kind of begin our conversation. And the topic today is really thinking about the use of the results-based coaching tool to measure the impact of our coaching work. And I think Tiffany will have some really interesting practices she's using and ideas and kind of her mindset around using that tool. So I know it's going to be a great episode. And Tiffany, I am so glad you're here.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Tiffany, can you tell us a little bit about your journey as an educator?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm in my 24th year of education. I've taught fifth grade, second grade, third grade, and I was a math interventionist. And in 2017, I was hired at Hillcrest Elementary as an instructional partner. And that job really was to service students and teachers in grades 1 through 6. In all subjects. And at that point, instructional partners really were centered around a district theme of student engagement, innovation, project-based learning. All of that was kind of at the forefront. And it was still student-centered, still around data, but there really wasn't a way to document the work that was being done. I really never got to get into that role because I was hired in the summer. And 2 weeks after I was hired as an instructional partner, my administrator called and said, there's being a shift in the state of Alabama, and your job is going to transition from an instructional partner to a reading specialist in kindergarten through third grade. Now, mind you, I'd been teaching math and science for the past 6 years, coming out of math intervention. And now I'm being told that, hey, you're going to be a reading specialist. And so I was kind of taken aback. And I said, well, I think I'm just going to go ahead and turn in my resignation before I even get started. And she said, you are absolutely not. She said, I have full faith in you, full confidence in you. You've got this. You're going to do great. And so I felt like I was coming in at a good time because everybody, all of the instructional partners, everybody was making the shift at the same time. And so my first year of being a reading coach was really spending a lot of time of just building relationships in my building, working alongside the teachers, just really getting to know the curriculum, getting to know them, implementing lessons. I'd even, at that point in time, we were pulling several groups of intervention students. So my full day wasn't focused on coaching. We were doing some intervention as well. And the shift, I think, with the reading, all of the things that were going on in place in Alabama, there just became a lot of learning over the past few years with science of reading, coupled with the Alabama Literacy Act that was implemented in 2019. We'd adopted new state standards. We've adopted a new curriculum. So there's been a lot of change in this role since I've been in it. And so student-centered coaching really kind of kicked off in the midst of all of this change that has taken place. And so really my goal became, as a K-3 reading specialist and student-centered coaching, that all students are reading on grade level by the end of third grade per the Alabama Literacy Act.
Oh, that's a huge amount of fearlessness to be willing to shift from the math and science in the upper grades to the primary reading, because I was an upper grade teacher. I can totally relate to that. It's really cool because with all the change that was happening in the state, the thoughtfulness around also making sure coaching was really sort of state of the art and supported has stood out to me. And that's a little bit kind of how I ended up at your school. Mm-hmm. And this was just last week. And I ended up at your school because we were doing coaching labs where we got to Fishbowl, a practicing coach, which was you, to kind of continue to learn the practices of student-centered coaching and just to make sure that there's a broad understanding of those practices throughout the state. So getting to watch you in action, I was so impressed with how you were so fluent in using the results-based coaching tool. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of why I was thinking today's episode would be really interesting. And when we chatted a little bit about it, you named that you had some, you know, a progression into the comfort you were at today with that tool. So could you just kind of share a little bit about your experiences documenting the impact of coaching cycles with the results-based coaching tool?
Yeah, for sure. And you've kind of touched on it a little bit. Our State Department has really given us a lot of support. That's one of the great things about my job as a reading specialist is the tiered support. You know, they've got a tiered approach that they give us. And I have a regional specialist who provides professional development for, you know, our region and our local literacy specialists several times a year. We call them coaching communities. And several years ago, at one of our coaching communities, we received the book Student-Centered Coaching. And that year, we really walked through the book. We walked through what results-based coaching tools were. And we also got a copy of the moves. And they were really good about walking us through what those pieces of coaching look like. And early on, I was just very overwhelmed by the results-based coaching tool. I think I tried to take on too much ownership of the tool. I used it as something that I just needed to make sure that I kept documentation, mainly for myself, to prove what I was doing in the classroom. And everything was just about me. Like, I was doing this. I was keeping the document. I was like the keeper of all of the knowledge. And it really was kind of a burden for me because I held on to everything. I wasn't using it as a partnership with a teacher. That wasn't a focus for me. And then I know that you, Ms. Diane, you came in and really kind of started working in our state with ARI, with the Alabama Reading Initiative. And our regional coaches were able to really attend some of the trainings, and they would come back and do some turnaround trainings for us. And so they would break down, they would take the results-based coaching tool and they broke it down. So we would have one coaching community would be goal setting and targets and getting your baseline data. And we just really dove deeply into what that looked like. And then maybe the next time we met, we talked about, okay, now let's look at the instructional practices. This is what this column looks like. What are some things that we could include in this? And we just really spent a lot of time that year explicitly talking about the pieces and the parts of the coaching tool and walking through the coaching log documentation and just really breaking it down. And I think after that training, my eyes were really opened as to how this tool was intended to be used. And so I think your words the other day in our coaching live were, it's almost like it's the invisible hand. And that was really kind of what it became for me, was it wasn't just a piece of paper that I would have on the table and go back and document. It became an active part of my coaching. I think the teacher, being able to use it alongside with the teacher and partnering with the teacher, we were able to really use it as a working document instead of something that we filled in later.
Tiffany, I know that, I mean, Diane can speak to this too, but when I'm working with other districts, a lot of coaches come in and are really hungry for like tangible things, you know, like that's going to help them improve what they're doing. So you had mentioned a few minutes ago that one thing you felt like you did at the beginning was you kind of were that keeper of all of the notes and everything that you were doing and collecting that was taking place during that cycle. Can you talk through a little bit about like some different strategies you now use from, I don't want to say making mistakes, because it's really just learning along the way, right? In our journey. So as you have improved that process and you have tweaked what you do in those practices, can you talk through kind of what you do to take notes as far as like how you've moved away from being that gatekeeper and really making it more collaborative with the teacher?
Yeah, really one of the things, I mean, just a simple thing that I do is I bring the tool with me to whatever we're doing, it comes. And we document in our planning meetings, in our debriefing, anything we're doing, that tool is at the forefront of what we're doing. One of the other pieces I like to use alongside of that, that I think really helps me in planning information, are the coaching logs. I mentioned that a minute ago. But those really, I think, help. I'm able to pull out a certain coaching log and know, okay, this log, I'm going to use this along with my setting my goal. It has guiding questions. It helps me to really plan out what I need to do alongside the teacher. So the coaching logs are very helpful for me. And then we use that as a planning device. So while I'm in the coaching cycle, if I'm in the classroom, one of my go-to note-taking tools, I think, is the notice and naming tool. That has just been extremely helpful for me because I feel like it makes the data very learner-specific. In our coaching lab that we had last week, the teachers and I really took the note-taking tool and just kind of made variations to that. We would use that in one classroom, and the teacher would, you know, take a certain group of students and I would take a certain group of students. And she gathered information on a group and I gathered information on a group. And then we came together and we were able to really, within the span of about 15 minutes, go through every single student in her classroom and document and talk about exactly what they were doing. So the note-taking tool is another, I would say, a strategy or a piece that is really helpful while I'm in the classroom. Sometimes when I'm getting ready for a coaching cycle and I'm going in and just, I guess, trying to get the lay of the land, I guess you would say, I use a tool that actually one of my colleagues created. And it's just one that basically says, you know, what are the students doing? What are the students saying? What are they seeing or looking at? What's the classroom management? And I think when a teacher starts off seeing that, that it's really a student-centered focus. Like I'm coming in and she's not watching me. She's really focused on what my students are doing. And so it kind of builds a little bit more of a relationship and sets her at ease that this really is a partnership and she's not coming to fix me. It's all about growing my students in my classroom.
That's such a great reassurance for teachers to know that.
Yes.
Even teachers that have worked with a student-centered coach multiple times, I think at the beginning of that partnership, again, they still need to be kind of reminded of that. So I love that you put it right out there to where they know, like, nope, everything we're talking about here is about what they're doing.
Yes.
I also love that you mentioned the way that you were structuring your co-teaching last week with that teacher. You guys were able to go through all of your evidence collection during when you guys were meeting together in 15 minutes. Like yes. That's so efficient and that's so important because that then allows the rest of their plan time to now, okay, now what are we going to do about it? Like,
right.
It's so easy to fall into that trap of spending so much time just talking about the evidence and then they got to go pick up their kids, you know?
And solve any problems.
Yeah, yeah. It was so great to hear you say that.
Yes. I really do try to value their time. It wasn't that long when I was in the classroom, and I know planning times are short and they have a lot on their plate too. And I don't want to be one extra piece, you know. Yes. I'm in there to try to help. And so I really try to manage my time and make sure that their time is used very efficiently. And then we're really there to determine next steps anyway. So like you said, we could spend all that time talking about the data and not coming up with any solutions or next steps. So we really try to, I've tried to work on really valuing that time.
I also want to throw in for those listening, Tiffany mentioned the logs that go along with the results-based coaching tool. And for those of you that are kind of wondering what that is, every single component of the coaching tool that kind of walks you through a coaching cycle, there's a more detailed place with some guiding questions too that really walks you through that. And Tiffany is referring to that as far as that's what she puts in front of the teacher as well. So there's nothing being held behind a curtain or anything like that, being very transparent with, this is where we're going next with this, and here's what we're going to talk about, and this is what we're putting down there together. So if you're curious about when she was referring to those logs, that's what she's talking about.
Yeah, and those logs are actually, I was going to point that out, they're in the Essential Guide for Student-Centered Coaching, page 41, 42, 43, that part of the book that really gets at coaching cycles. Mm-hmm. And I do want to just echo what you're saying, Brandon, because the results-based coaching tool itself is meant to be the big picture, the summary of the full coaching cycle. It's not a good place to take notes mm-hmm. of the nitty-gritty. And like you're naming, Tiffany, the noticing and naming tool. And there's a lot more that has to happen in terms of sort of keep telling the story of our coaching cycles and taking notes so we can keep an eye on how things are progressing. So these coaching logs, I love how you described it, Brandon. They really give you space to elaborate a little bit more on how each part of the process is going. So they're really, I think, essential. They pair with the bigger tool for sure. Do you find that, Tiffany? That it's like a pairing?
It really does. I feel like the coaching tool itself is more of a summary. And then when you're using the logs, it's a lot more detailed information. That's a great place to take notes and jot down. I just love the guiding questions that they're already there for you. It just really helps you walk through all of the pieces in a simpler manner.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be really helpful for people who are new to using the tool. When I was at your school, Tiffany, you were just about to wrap up a coaching cycle. And I was curious if you could just share with our listeners a little bit about how you use you had mentioned the importance of data and collecting student growth data. How do you celebrate the end of a cycle? And how do you use the results-based coaching tool to anchor those conversations?
Well, one thing that we do is we really just go back to the very beginning. At the end, we want to go back and we want to remember where we started. And so we look at the beginning of our cycle data. We remind ourselves of, you know, where we started. We look at all of the pieces, all of the instructional practices we've put into place. And then we compare our end of cycle data. And one of the pieces, of course, we want to look at is overall proficiency. And we celebrate the overall proficiency, the overall growth that we see from beginning to end. But one thing we do like to do is, you know, sometimes after you've been in a classroom for 4 to 6 weeks, there are times where you don't see the proficiency grow like you want it to. And so one thing that we really try to do is look at individual student growth and celebrate the small growth as well as the big growth. You know, any growth is wonderful, no matter how big or small it is. And so really one thing I like to do for the teachers is, you know, they have allowed me to come in and be a part of their classroom for several weeks. And so I also give them a little duty-free lunch just at the end of our coaching cycle to say thank you for letting me come. It's almost like a two-for-one deal because I've gained 15 to 20 new best friends in that classroom. And so I get to go spend lunch with them and the teacher gets a little bit of time to herself. But we also really talk to the administrators. We really celebrate what's going on in the classroom with them because they have a big job themselves and they don't always see, they see the big data. They don't always see what's going on in the classroom. So we do have, or, you know, little pieces. We do have weekly meetings and I share with them updates and we celebrate just the great growth that's going on in the classrooms. We have good conversations and then they're able to turn around and go talk with the teachers and the students about what's going on as well. But one thing I think I kind of reflected on after our coaching lab last week is, you know, I celebrate with the teachers, but we really don't spend a lot of time celebrating with the students. And I feel like one area of growth for me next year is really, as we're setting our goals and we're looking at our data, is really talking to the students about, hey, this is what we talk about our learning targets, but this is where we are. And this is where we're going over the next several weeks and celebrating with them. Look how far you've come and sharing individual growth and setting student goals. So that's one little piece I think I want to try to implement next year, along with it being just a, you know, a focus for the teacher and me, really bringing the students in along on this student-centered coaching and the data and the growth that we see.
I love that.
I love that. I've never heard of anyone come up with that idea of sharing their data from the results-based coaching tool with kids.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be cool. So you have to circle back and,
yes,
and let us, yeah, know how that goes. And it also reinforces like the adult partnering because you were in there with them and then you can share our work together as the adults, as coach and teacher, and all the work you kids did led to this growth.
Wow. Yeah. Because, you know, a lot of the pieces that we were using, we had specific data on each student and we were able to see, look, we were working on fluency. This was your expression when we started and look how far you've come in the past few weeks of us being in the classroom and them seeing their growth alongside, you know, the teacher and myself. So that's just an area that I want to look at for next year.
And I just want to remind our listeners, you're coaching in a K-3 environment. So if this can be done in K-3, it can be done K-12.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
We focus so much on the word partnership. And I think it tends to just go two ways. Like, but I love the fact that you're bringing in the kids to that too. Because we really, like, we are. Like, and anyone who is a student-centered coach is partnering with them. But you're naming it and you're doing something about that instead of it just kind of being like a byproduct. You're being intentional about that. And that is really special.
Yes.
Thanks.
Tiffany, you've already given listeners so much, but I do want to ask, do you have any like advice for coaches who are either hesitant to try using the results-based coaching tool, or they feel even just stuck in the way that they are note-taking along the journey of a cycle, anything like that? Do you have any advice for them?
Well, you know, as I said earlier, this is my 7th year of being in this position, and it has definitely been a process for me. I really came into this position not feeling very confident in my ability to coach, but I was willing to learn, and I was willing to be challenged. And so really my advice is to, you know, if that's an area that you struggle with, find somebody who really is strong in using a results-based coaching tool or a mentor, or, you know, set a small goal for yourself. It is overwhelming to try to use or learn all of those pieces at one time and maybe just say, you know what, I really want to focus on goal setting. I want that to be my focus for, you know, this month in this coaching cycle and really nailing down that piece. But I always use Miss Diane's work as I always go back to it. It is always, it's not a book that's sitting on the shelf. It's not, you know, a binder of fold or folders that I keep on my table. I am always questioning and trying to, you know, am I doing this right? Do I need to go back? And I always go back to those books and reread and highlight and mm-hmm. and pull things out of them. So they're great resources. So I say that to say, you know, don't just think that, well, I've read that book. You know, I think I understand what it was saying. Go back to it and continue to pull different things out. I think really the ultimate piece of advice that I would give is just to strive to be a lifelong learner. You know, I never want to say, okay, I've arrived, I've gotten there, I've made it, you know, I'm here. There's always something that I can focus on and be better at. And so if you're striving to be a lifelong learner, this is an area that I'm not, surely not an expert on. And there are definitely pieces of this that I can grow in as well. But that's my goal, is to really just continue to learn and continue to be better at that.
I'm so glad you named that yourself, because I was going to say that. You started this conversation by talking about how you didn't know what you're about to do, but you had to jump into it. And you had doubts, but you had people in your corner saying, no, you can do this. Mm-hmm. And now you just brought it back to that again. Like, everything you've been talking about is being that learner. And I'm glad that you recognize that. I know you're voicing that to teachers that you work with as well. So I love that. Also, everything you just shared in advice for other coaches, what you just talked about that coaches should do is exactly what we as coaches strive to do with teachers. You mm-hmm. talked about setting goals. You talked about having someone else that can help you, that you could come alongside with and help you with that goal. So what I hear you say is, even as coaches, we need to have that coach too.
Yeah.
And those people that we could partner with. Such a great piece of advice.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always willing to, I'm always asking questions. If I don't understand, I'm going to ask and I'm going to find somebody that does.
And that leads to the work that you're creating and the way that you're entering into the space of collaborating with other adults comes from a very authentic place because of that learning stance you carry, which is truly one of the most important attributes of a coach. We can learn how to use a tool like the results-based coaching tool. We can learn how to have a goal-setting conversation. But to come in with a learning stance is something you can't teach, really. You can remind people it's important, but it's hard to teach that as a skill, so to speak.
Hmm.
Can I just give the group, the listeners, one last piece of advice about the results-based coaching tool, Brandon? Is that okay with you?
Yes, I believe we have time. Go ahead, Dan.
Okay. I just want us to always remember it's not meant to be a tool for compliance. You know, some systems use it that way, and Tiffany's system does use it as, you know, there is some turning them in and there is some accountability attached to this tool, because I think a system, whether it's a statewide system like yours or a school district or even a school itself, they kind of do need to know if coaching is impacting teaching and learning. Like, we all kind of need to know that. I don't think there's a doubt that that's important. But I don't think we want to think about this tool sheerly as a compliance, something I have to do because I have to turn it in. It's really meant to be a tool that allows us to celebrate our impact and to feel really good about our impact and to demonstrate our efficacy and to learn for, and to know, oh, we gotta take care of these six kids who didn't reach proficiency, or what are we gonna do in this situation, or how can we get better at our work? So just always reminding folks to not narrow this results-based coaching tool into that compliance bucket. Cause I think when we do that, it feels really pointless and not relevant and not helpful. And getting past that is really, I think, vital to see the value of it as a resource for coaches.
I think that's actually one of the good things about this resource is, like, a secondary use of it can be, you know what, you could also use this to check the box of, here, this shows, you know, with evidence that we did this, 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 and this. But again, the primary reason for it is the conversations throughout, the documenting, so you know the next time going into something, you know, like all of the benefits of it that truly makes it like a living, breathing document that supports your coaching and supports that partnership with a, also it could be used for that. But it, yeah, I think in a lot of places that becomes the main thing and then it kind of feels yucky sometimes.
Yes, exactly. Well, Tiffany, thank you for joining us today and really bringing home the opportunity in all of this, sharing your practice, being a learner again in a new way. And I have a feeling we'll be finding new ways to partner with you as the years go on. So we're really grateful that you were able to join us today.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm honored that you would have me. Thank you so much.
Tiffany, you make our third guest from the state of Alabama so far in this podcast.
Ooh.
Yeah, so big things happening down there.
Yeah.
I love hearing about it. So thank you so much for sharing your work and just everything you're doing with teachers and four kids. Just keep it up. It was really nice meeting you.
Thank you so much. It's nice to meet you.
Student-Centered Coaching, the podcast, is brought to you by Diane Sweeney Consulting. For more information, visit DianeSweeney.com. Music is brought to you by Clemency. You can check them out at ClemencyOnline.com. There you can find more information on how to download their music. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast where podcasts are found and follow us on Twitter at SC Coaching Pod.